I want to welcome everyone here today to the funeral service for Peggy Van Beek. The family appreciates you being here with them. We'll begin our worship singing hymn number 629, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Number 629, please stand for the processional hymn. Please be seated. This time I'll read the obituary for Margaret Peggy Van Beek. Age 93, 1 week short of her birthday, formerly of Pollock, died August 3, 2026 in the Strasburg Care Center, Strasburg, North Dakota. Peggy was born on August 10, 1932, to Sydney and Mina Bosker Federley in Winona Bay, Emmons County, North Dakota. She grew up in the Pollock area, attended local elementary schools, and graduated from Pollock High School in 1950. After graduation, Peggy obtained her teaching certificate, attending Ellendale College one summer, and taught in the area for 2 years. Throughout the years, she also worked at Atkinson Grocery in Old Town Pollock and at the Harriet Good Samaritan Center. Peggy contributed to the local newspaper, the Prairie Pioneer, for numerous years. On November 23, 1953, Peggy was united in marriage to Carl Geffley at the home of her parents, Sid and Mina. Together, they made their home on the Geffley Farm, south of Pollock, where they welcomed two children, Danny Carl and Marilyn Marie. Their lives changed forever on November 2, 1959, when Carl was tragically killed in a farming accident west of Pollock. With strength and determination, Peggy continued farming while raising her young family, supported by her brothers. On May 5, 1961, Peggy married Everett Van Beek at the Pollock Memorial Presbyterian Church. They made their home on the Van Beek Farm west of Pollock, where they farmed and raised beef cattle, pigs, and sheep. Their family grew with the addition of two sons, Edward Everett and Mark Sidney. Peggy kept the farm running in countless ways, driving for parts, preparing hearty meals, and delivering fresh cookies to the fields. In 1993, Peggy and Everett retired from farming and moved into Pollock, where they enjoyed many happy retirement years. After Everett passed away in 2013, Peggy continued to make her home in Pollock, remaining close to her family, friends, and church community. In her later years, she lived at the Prairie Rose Assisted Living in Linton, North Dakota, before moving to the Strasburg Care Center in Strasburg, North Dakota. Peggy was a devoted member of the Pollock Memorial Presbyterian Church, where she faithfully served as a deaconess, sang in the choir, and participated in the WIC, Women in the Church. Peggy's unwavering faith in God was the foundation of her life, guiding her with strength through both life's greatest joys and deepest sorrows. She was also active in the Campbell County Cancer Society, the Birthday Club, and the Craft Club. Peggy was known for her unwavering work ethic and generous spirit. She found joy tending her beautiful flower gardens, caring for her vegetable garden, and picking apples from the tree in her yard. Some of her favorite pastimes included Saturday night pinochle at the senior center, reading her Bible and daily devotions, faithfully journaling every day, sharing coffee with friends, and making memories on family vacations. Anyone who knew Peggy also knew not to interrupt her during a Minnesota Twins or Golden State Warriors game. She would gladly invite you in, but her eyes never left the television. While cheering on her favorite teams, her hands were never idle as she lovingly embroidered dish towels that became treasured gifts for her family and friends. Peggy never left home without a purse full of Tootsie Rolls to share with any child she met. To many, she became affectionately known as the Tootsie Roll Grandma, bringing smiles wherever she went. She had a remarkable gift for staying connected with those she loved, whether through a phone call, a birthday card, or one of her handwritten letters describing the events of her day. Peggy made everyone feel remembered and loved. Those thoughtful gestures will be deeply missed. Family gatherings were one of Peggy's greatest joys. She loved planning holiday celebrations, hosting pinochle parties, and welcoming friends for coffee and one of her famous Scotcheroos. Her freezer was always stocked with homemade treats, just in case unexpected company stopped by. Above all, Peggy was her family's biggest supporter. No matter the weather or the distance, she was there for every concert, game, graduation, wedding, and milestone. If her family had an event, Peggy was going to be there. Her steadfast love, encouragement, and unwavering presence blessed generations and created a legacy that will live on in the hearts of all who knew her. Thank you, Mom, for your endless love, your faithful example, and your unending devotion to our family. Your legacy of love has been instilled in all of us. We will miss you dearly until the day we meet again. Peggy is lovingly survived by her four children, Danny and Janice Geffley, Marilyn and Florian Voller, Edward and Stephanie Van Beek, Mark Van Beek, all of Pollock, 12 grandchildren, 26 great-grandchildren, her brother Gene Federley, her sister Sydney Randall Cloud and Randall Cloud of Pollock, her brother-in-law John and Betty Van Beek of Pollock. She is preceded in death by her husbands Carl Geffley and Everett Van Beek, her son-in-law Russell Hake, her great-granddaughters Madison and Caitlin, her great-grandson, Roman, her brothers, Ralph and Robin Federley, and her sister, Phyllis Federley. Peggy was preceded in death by Geffley in-laws, Thomas and Merritt Geffley, Edward and Clara Schaefer, Thelma Geffley, Thelma and Paul Hay. And the Van Beek in-laws, Edward and Alice Van Beek, Harvey and Mavis Van Beek, Bernard and Jean Van Beek, Bernard's second wife, Betty Van Beek, Laura and Jim Heimbach, Laura's second husband, Walter Arndt, Richard and Lou Van Beek, Gordon Van Beek, and Edith and Arthur Dienert. We extend our sympathy to Peggy's children and grandchildren, her brother and sister, brother-in-law, relatives, friends, neighbors, and your loss today. You are invited to join the family for lunch and fellowship in the Cedar Fellowship Hall in the basement of the church following the burial at the Spring Valley Cemetery. And we thank Rosalind Lyer for preparing the meal today and the women's group and volunteers for helping serve. Let us worship God. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God stands forever. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a death, a breath. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. No eye is seen, nor ear is heard, nor no mind is conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. None of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. And so whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we believe that all the ties of family, friendship, and affection which knit us together throughout our lives do not unravel in death. Confident of God's love, even in the face of death, let us pray. Our Lord and our God, the death of our sister Peggy reminds us of our frail human condition and the shortness of our lives on this earth. Yet for those who are in the embrace of your love in Jesus Christ our Lord, death is not the end, nor can it destroy the bonds that bind us to you and to each other. Help us to share that faith together, even through our tears and sadness. Bring the light of Christ's resurrection to shine on this time of grief and pain. Enable us by your Spirit to bring our worship and give you thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Special music will be given now by Cody and Janelle.
You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in this shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand. Snares of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under God's wings, your refuge, with faithfulness, your shield. And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn. May to shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of my hand. For to the angels God's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand.
For our Old Testament lesson, the first reading will be from a poem in the Wisdom Book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does a worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it this so that men will revere him. From Psalm 23, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jesus also said in the Gospels, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Jesus also said to his disciples on a night when they were filled with grief because he was going away, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Please join me now in a time of intercessory prayer. Eternal God, before whose face generations rise and pass away. You formed us in your image, and you have willed us to live before you in peace and love. We confess that we are not the people you created or called us to be. We have not loved you with our whole heart or our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us our sins, O God, and create in us a new and willing spirit, so that in our living we may serve you, and in our dying know the joy of your presence. O God, from the dawn of the first day you have cared for your people. By your hand we were created, in your hand we live, and to your hand we return again. You have revealed yourself in many and various ways until in the fullness of time your word was made flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. In his life, death, and resurrection, we find our calling in this world and our hope for the world to come. With your whole church on earth, with all the company of heaven, we worship and adore you. O God, you understand our grief, for you have felt our pain. Jesus wept with Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus, and the heavens were darkened when your own son died upon the cross. Comfort us with the knowledge that Jesus raised his friend and will raise all who hear his voice, for he destroyed the darkness of death when you raised him to the light of Easter morning. We thank you for the great and precious promises that nothing will separate us from your love. We pray for comfort this day and the days ahead for Peggy's sons and daughter, her daughters-in-law and son-in-law, her brother and sister, brother-in-law, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, friends and neighbors. Be with each one as they deal with this transition, as they deal with their loss. We give you thanks on this day for all your servants who have lived this life in faith and now live eternally with you. Especially we thank you for Peggy, for the gift of her life, for the grace you have given her, for all in her that was good and kind and faithful, for all the wonderful memories of family and loved ones. We thank you for so many years of life on this earth. And we thank you also that for Peggy, death is past and pain is ended, and she has entered the joy you have prepared in the company of all the saints. Give us faith to look beyond touch and sight and in seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Enable us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Bring us at last to your eternal peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we'll have special music by Darian Jerome.
The marketplace is empty, no more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors, in the courtroom no debate. Work on earth is all suspended, as the king comes through the gate. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow. Who were crippled white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he is coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpets spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grandstand's all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled, stars to sing amazing grace. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he is coming for me.
We thank Derry and Jerome and Cody and Janelle and Joan for sharing their musical gifts with us today. For our scripture, I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the reason for this passage was shown to me a verse that was read to Peggy on the last day of her life from a devotional book. And I'd like to read the passage in a wider context. From 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Going down to verse 4, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit." Verse 11, "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor can, again, the head say to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" Verse 24, "But God has so composed the body, given honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you today for your word and pray that you would bring forth blessings today for each of us as we hear, that it would have a good effect on our hearts today, that we would be drawn to Jesus, that we would know him as King and Lord and Savior. And we pray, Lord, for the work of your Spirit among us. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Last night, as we were walking to the family supper, the young children were riding their bikes down the hill. And one of them rode past us and asked the question, "Where's Grandma Peggy?" I didn't try to answer at that moment because it seemed like it would take a little more time than a young bike rider had to offer. The short answer to the question, "Where's Grandma Peggy?" is she is with Jesus. She is in a heavenly home in the most beautiful, wonderful city. She is with the Lord's people who have gone on before. She is in a place where people don't get sick or die, where there's no crying or pain. She is in a place where no one sins and where everyone serves God with their whole heart. You might ask, how can I say such things? Well, because of the promises of God in Holy Scripture. We have very clear teaching on how we get to heaven. And we can't get to heaven on our own merits, on our own achievements. I'm not going to tell you that Peggy is in heaven because she lived such a good life. We don't get to heaven by a life of good works. I can't lay claim to heaven by preaching decades of funeral messages or Sunday morning services. If you spent much time with me, you would see very quickly that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible states that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in terms of our contribution, all by itself, our righteous acts are like filthy rags in God's sight. And God doesn't grade on the curve. And we're told in the final book of the Bible that no one enters his heavenly city who is sinful. No one enters his heavenly city unless their sins are blotted out. Unless we are cleaned up by Christ, we have no part in him. In the passage read today, Jesus calls us not merely to believe in God, but to believe in him. He says, "Trust in me." And for those who trust in him, he promises a heavenly home. Jesus said that we won't get to heaven except through him. In other words, through his sacrifice on the cross, through his death in our behalf, where our sins are laid upon him and his righteousness given to us. And the truth is that we are all sinners. And Peggy certainly was not perfect. She had her faults, but she was a sinner saved by faith in Christ, a sinner saved by grace. Our church register records that Peggy made profession of faith in Jesus Christ on March 4, 1948, when she was 15 years old. She has been a communicant member of this church for 78 years. And I don't think you'd be surprised to know that she has a present record for the most years of membership. And hopefully some of our other members will surpass her someday. But that's a lot of years of faithful membership in the church. If we believe in Jesus and belong to him, there will be many evidences of that reality. As our good shepherd, we will follow him. We'll be part of his flock. And when we become a Christian, we are made part of his church. Worldly people look down on the church with contempt, and they see the ugliness. But when God does a work of grace in a person's life, that person's view of the church changes. The church becomes a spiritual family with fathers, mothers, and sisters, and brothers, and children. And we see how amazing it is that God would make us part of his church. In our passage, the Apostle Paul pictures the church as the body of Christ. And Paul illustrates that our bodies have many members that have different functions. And he applies it to our participation in the church. He says, so it is with the body of Christ. He speaks of the hand and the foot and the eye and the ear having different functions that are important to the life of the body. And as members of the body of Christ, we all have something to do. And God has given us each one a spiritual gift. Every Christian has at least one, and probably more. But your spiritual gift is not for yourself, but for the common good of the whole body. When we think of Peggy's life, we think of her attitude. What could she do for the good of the church? We answer that question, we see her spiritual gifts, how she made a contribution. And her gifts might be different from what you can do. With all the parts of the body, there is this amazing unity. Last night, during the family remembrances, it was opened with a scripture from verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. When I first came to Pollock, Peggy was 48 years old. She sang in the choir almost every Sunday morning. And the choir also sang for nearly every funeral for the next 20 years. And the first funerals I had were extremely difficult. They were only days apart. And the choir robes were in the Sunday school room above my office. And for the first two funerals, Peggy told me outside my office that she was praying for me. Her voice choked up. There were tears in her eyes, and I certainly appreciated her kind words. But it wasn't only those first two funerals. It turned out that this would take place ahead of every funeral. That she was praying for me, that she was grieving and weeping. She did this more than any other person in the church. I could almost guarantee this would take place ahead of every funeral. She was extremely empathetic in those situations. She cared about church members and neighbors who were grieving. I could also tell there had been a tragedy in her background that intensified the experience of a funeral. Funerals were not easy for her, and yet she always showed up. When I heard in a summary fashion from others how her first husband had died, I had better understanding, and for a long time I thought that she might talk to me about it someday, but she never did. Like the Apostle Paul, she pressed on toward the goal. Her Christianity showed up in her relationships. She was a faithful and loving wife. And God's word teaches that if we don't take care of our family, that we've denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. She loved her family, and what was also good to see was that her family loved her back. We wondered how she would do in the move to assisted living, but she was thrilled to be able to go with granddaughters and attend the games of their children. She made the best of it. And I really appreciated her family bringing her from Linton on Sunday morning so she could go to church here. And I understood that was part of the deal that she made, that she would go to assisted living if her family would take her to church in Pollock. A previous visit several weeks ago at Strasburg Care Center, she told us of someone in her family that was sick. And we hadn't heard about that, so we wondered if she was really on top of things, but she was. When it came to her family, she kept track of all of you, and she was there to help whenever she could. I remember visiting Russell during the last stages of cancer at his home, and Peggy was there to help in those difficult days, folding laundry or some work in the house that she could do. It was a labor of love on her part. When you suffered, she suffered with you. When you succeeded, your happiness was hers also. If you knew anything at all about Peggy, you knew that she was a champion card writer. When toward the end of her life, Marilyn had to keep her in cards and stamps, Peggy went through her supplies at an amazing rate. And this gift was helpful to our board of deacons when people needed some word of encouragement from our church. Now, we have farmers on the board that I don't think are very good at sending cards. But that was Peggy's gift, and she was well known for it, and many of you were blessed by it. I've had people express appreciation for Peggy's home visits. When they weren't well, she would stop by. She blessed people with her banana bread, her bread pudding, her homemade candy at Christmas, and so much more. When you would stop by her house, she always had something ready to serve for coffee. On occasion, I would drop by with some fresh caught fish, and not that often because I'm not that good a fisherman. But when it happened, I would try to call her on my cell phone about a block away to see if I could possibly give her something without getting anything back in return. She was faithful in her daily devotions, and if you would come to her room and visit, you would often see this. And she would not only read the page, but she would look up Bible references. She was faithful in her weekly worship of God. You didn't have to wonder if Peggy was going to be in church or she was going to come to the Circle Bible study. Even after moving to the care center, she wanted to participate in the Circle by reading the lessons, talking to my wife about it. If there was any work to be done in the church, she was going to be part of it. 3 years ago, when she was 90 years old, she showed up for church cleaning. Now, what job do you give someone that age? It had to be a job where she could sit. She could trim stamps for missions. She could wrap silverware for the next serving event. Hers was not a convenience Christianity. It was a biblical Christianity. It was what can I do? How can I help? What role can I play? The Apostle Paul had this very thing in mind when he wrote these words. And it corrects the view that many have where coming to church is like going to McDonald's, coming to pick up our happy meal, getting our spiritual food, and then as quickly as we can, get out of there. The church is a place to work and serve. It's a big mistake to look at the church and think that the only important job is to be the preacher, or to be on the session, or some other work that you would lift up. That would be like saying that you only need a quarterback for a good football team. Well, actually, you need a variety of players and skills if everyone doing their part to achieve the goal. And Paul uses a more intense analogy of people in the church pictured as members of the body of Christ. If you are a Christian, God has given you a gift to use for the good of the church. And we should take a moment and ask the question, if we're committed to doing our part as Christians? Are we exercising the spiritual gifts God has given us? Or are we unreliable to the body as a shoulder with a torn rotator cuff? When you become a Christian, you give up the idea that life is all about you. Your Lord didn't come into this world to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Even after 78 years, Peggy saw the church as a place to participate and a place to grow. And it's the work of the pastor that God has given to enable people to be built up in the faith and to prepare God's people for works of service. And we see that, we can appreciate the song, "How Beautiful is the Body of Christ." I think of our last visit with Peggy that came about shortly before she died, after her sister stopped by her house. She had visited Peggy in the nursing home, and she was unable to wake her up. And we went then in the early evening, and we were able, by God's blessing, to have a good visit with her. And at the end of our visit, I read John 14 and prayed with her. And she had a message to send back with us to tell her sister, "I'm all right." Even though she was dying, and even though her legs were not getting the blood supply, she did not complain. She was all right. What a greater blessing today is, as we think about the promises of God. Today we grieve our loss, but we celebrate her joy, knowing that there's a place prepared by Jesus, a place where we can serve him forever. Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful that the funeral today is an expression of loss, but it's not a tragedy. We thank you for the long life that you gave Peggy, a life well lived, a life of faithful service. Help us to remember what Christ has done for us, for her. Help us to go to the cemetery in faith and to trust you and to know that you're with us there. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This time we'll have as our recessional hymn number 44, "How Great Thou Art." If you would turn to number 44, and please stand.